Hello. Welcome to this First Thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everyone. This is another episode of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is the first thoughts of Welcome to Storybrooke. This is March 17th, 2013, Sunday evening, and we have just watched Welcome to Storybrooke.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you as well, and Louis the Leprechaun sends his kind regards. This was a... What?
That was almost a little Louis right there.
Well,
kind of guy.
We are. He is a part of the family,
slurry.
If you will.
You have not been imbibing either. That's what's
no, I have
funny.
Not been. I don't imbibe all that much, although I do now and then. No. All right. So the iTunes people will stay calm. Let's talk about the episode, shall we?
Let's talk about the episode.
So when it first started, I thought of E.T. for some strange reason. I don't know. I just...
Oh, because of the camping in the woods?
Yeah, it looked like the E.T. ride at Universal Studios to me.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't go there, but okay.
And...
I wasn't sure it was the show. I'm like, who in the world are these people?
Yeah.
What is going on? So...
But they were... And what I love about this show is they pull in all these really intricate things from the time... And I don't know what they're called. Like, for instance, I know that I bought and I probably made one of those things, those key fob or whatever they're called, the key chain thing, where you weave.
They're woven lanyards.
Yeah.
But there is a name for them. I can't think off the top of my head what it is.
And so they were making one red little piece of plastic something and a green, red and green, whatever.
Right. And he said
it was lightsabers.
Right.
And we did find out the child's name is Owen.
Yes.
And that was Owen. Well, it could be a tip of the hat to Owen Lars in Star Wars movies.
And possibly. For people who really don't know what that is or who that is, who is he again?
It was Uncle Owen of Luke's Skywalker.
Yeah,
lived on Tatooine.
Luke's Uncle Owen.
Grumpy Owen.
Yeah, he was a little grumpy.
All right. So we now know a lot more information about the curse, how it works, Storybrooke, and that. And I did post Manny's fantastic really study of the clues that we received in season one, and he put it all together. And basically, I think he called it. So.
Okay.
It appears that it is a Groundhog Day kind of a thing. And it's like a record, and it just keeps skipping. And it just keeps going around and around. And
until Emma decided to stay in Storybrooke. Right.
Yep. That's true. So we see, and I always want to say, welcome back, Ruby. And we'll just keep moving on from there. And so, but what we learn is that Kurt Flynn, which is a nod to Tron.
No doubt, yeah.
And Owen Flynn, I guess, mm-hmm. Were camping, and they were caught in the Dark Curse.
They were somewhat caught in it. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So it rolled through And then all of a sudden, you know, it, I would imagine that they weren't chosen for the curse, but they were in the...
Well, no, because, I mean, think about it. They just happened to be there when it hit. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the whole key, yeah, is they just happened to be there.
Right.
At the right place at the right time, or wrong place at the right time. And so that's how they kind of ended up within the confines of the city. And again, I called this back in the beginning that I had a feeling the reason why nobody ever came is because you have to know where Storybrooke is.
Yeah.
It's not on a map. And we got confirmation of that.
Yeah.
Which and was fan-freaking-tastic.
So it was a bit like Lost. If you watch Lost, mm-hmm, that there were these certain coordinates that you had to fly if you flew a helicopter to get to the island. And if you didn't, you know, it was either moving or you couldn't get there or your helicopter would fall in the ocean, whatever. So it was, you had to follow this certain pattern in...
Certain with Storybrooke. Time, right.
Yeah, with Storybrooke, I think you have to, anyway, if you're not part of the curse or within the area, you can't see it. And I don't want to jump too far ahead, but we'll talk about that toward the end. But at the beginning, they said it was like it was like a town from nothing because Kurt said he drove through this area and it wasn't there before.
Right.
And now... It was like the town dropped on top of us. And that was one of the things that we talked about.
Yeah.
Is that the town was on top of fairy tale land or whatever. In this case, it was just kind of placed in this forest. Now, I can talk about this now, is when I first saw the sneak peek video and I saw the hats coming up over the hill looking down on Storybrooke, I thought of the other two individuals that I believe were sent there, and a couple of listeners had sent in different pictures and this and that, were Ava and Nicholas.
Huh.
And so when I saw the hats, I went, I bet you it's Ava and Nicholas, but and then it was not.
Right.
But it's the same type of a scenario, because they were sent somewhere, and they were laying on the ground and all that, so it's possible that we may see them. But anyway, so Kurt is pretty flipped out and Owen's flipped out, you know, that this town is created out of nothing.
Right.
And, you know, we did see the funny kind of moments of, you know, the same day after day after day doing the same thing. Marco, poor Marco with that sign, you know, trying to get it to stay up. And, you know, Archie walking Pongo and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, Regina's, you know, save it the last time. She just got upset.
Yeah.
And, you know, really the crux of the issue is, you know, when you get everything you want, it's usually not what you want. And that was the discussion that she had with Gold, is this is not what I wanted. And she goes, people do everything I say, you know. And she was kind of freaked out that Mary Margaret didn't like put up a fight when she bumped into her. And she goes, well, you're not going to fight back. And she goes, well, no, I should have been watching where I was going. So in a way, it's almost like kind of robotic and almost kind of Twilight Zone-y.
Stepford.
Right. And so, but that conversation that Gold and Regina had was very interesting, because it was like, you got what you wanted, or at least what you thought you wanted, and you're still not happy.
Right.
You know, and he made the crack about Archie down the street. No, I want to talk to you. You know, because you orchestrated this curse. You know, and again, it's kind of a fantasy island deal. Is what you want really what you want?
Well, so, and at that point in time, she realized he actually didn't know who he was either.
Yeah.
And that confirmed some other stuff for us as well that we'd all been kind of wondering, well, did he really know? And maybe he was playing with her, because he could very well have been doing that. You never know with him.
So it was 1983. 1983. I was much younger and had more hair back then. Mm-hmm.
As was I.
And we could see 70 millimeter films on 70 millimeter film screens. And
mm-hmm,
life was better in
there was
some
a,
ways.
There was a thing in the paper about Reagan, which I thought was interesting. Yep. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember those days.
I felt there was some shots of Regina's room. I felt like I was watching a Hitchcock film with all the bird pictures on the wall and that kind of thing. So,
well, and the fact that, you know, what I will say, you know, last week's episode, you know, Rumple deserved all, Robert Carlyle deserved all the awards for that. Yeah. I mean, that was just epic. This week was all Lana.
Right.
I mean, the cast members were amazing, but Lana just absolutely just wow.
She did. There were so many different facets of her character.
Exactly.
That she really, really did well. And we all know that, you know, the actors they have for this show are just phenomenal, but this was Lana's moment. And the Evil Regals were just abuzz tonight.
Oh, I'm sure.
On
I'm sure.
Twitter. And so there
well,
you
mean,
go.
If you look at her, I mean, she really did feel like she was happy the first day that they got there.
That's one
she
of the things like, I wrote wow, down is happy them. Regina. You know, it's just
very happy Regina.
We rarely saw that. And, you know, the first thing she said is, I did it. I won.
Mm-hmm.
She won.
Exactly. Until she realized it was Stepford, and that's right. Not what she really wanted at all.
And it was interesting, and it does have, from my perspective, the way I see it, religious overtones. She says, I don't want people to serve me because they have to. I want people to serve me because they want to.
Right.
And in this scenario, they have to.
Right.
You know, and Gold looked at her and goes, so what's wrong with that? This is great. Yeah, I wish for that, you know. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it just for a moment, it's kind of like you thought it was all going to turn out okay, you know, and initially, I don't want to spoil the end right now in our discussion, but, you know, this was a stranger or two strangers that came into town
right.
and it freaked out Regina because she said, you know, strangers threatened me.
Mm-hmm. Surprises
threatened me. And but it was kind of refreshing because everyone in Storybrooke was always very metered. They're always very just metered. Nobody really has a freak out normally. And it was funny. The kid had a mouth on him.
You know, oh, dude.
Owen just saying a bunch of stuff. I'm, you know, sat in Regina's chair and just didn't move and. You know, so, but as she got to know them, I think the one thing she really liked was they were real, you know, and it kind of goes back to what you're saying about Stepford.
Right.
And, you know, I think
they had minds of their own.
Yeah. The whole dinner thing was, I thought it was really, really cool because. You know, normally when people talk back to her, Regina would bristle and kind of say, well, you can't talk to me that way. But she was kind of like, no, I mean, this is how he, no, it's fine. You know, she's trying to kind of deal with things as they came along. And then she wanted his help in the kitchen with the apple turnovers, which I thought was kind of funny. And,
yeah, that was very funny.
Yeah.
Well, she's very good at those.
Yes, she is. Just, I don't know if I'd eat all of them, but
they knew better, but I mean, they didn't know any better is what I'm saying. They knew that it was perfectly fine. But what I thought was interesting is that for her, it was like she'd built herself a family and she thought she could have it all. And all she had to do was just tell them how great things were and just convince them to move there. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's a little, yeah, that would come across as a little odd,
But for a split second, I thought that she was considering making a family with Kurt.
Right. That's my point.
And, Owen, obviously, yeah.
Right. She was more interested in the fact that they weren't afraid of her.
Right.
They liked her for her. You know, there were no pretenses. She didn't have to pretend to be, you know, something she wasn't. She could just... I mean, she couldn't be herself, but she didn't feel like she had to, you know, hide secrets from them necessarily. I think she wanted a chance to start over, and she thought this is a perfect way to do it. And it was very interesting because love didn't factor in for her at all. It was really about, and I what I mean is romantic love didn't factor in. It was move here so I can spend time with Owen, because it was really all about the child.
Yeah.
And I think the turning point was when he gave her the lanyard.
Yep.
That's when it, boondoggle.
Oh, okay.
That's what they're called, right, boondoggles. Right. when he gave her the boondoggle, that's when she turned.
I thought she was going to cry, and I'm not picking.
No, I'm just saying. I think that's the
it
that's
touched
the,
her.
Yeah, that's the moment.
Yeah.
It changed something in her, mm-hmm. where she said, "Wait a second.
Yeah.
Something has been missing, and it wasn't. I mean, yeah, I think Daniel was the big missing piece.
Right.
But then she realized, wait a second, a child would fit in very nicely. That's what prompted her to eventually pursue adopting Henry.
And that's another callback to Ava and Nicholas as well. You know, just that whole idea of, I want you to stay with me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, I don't want to stay with you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we do, you know, no. Ava especially.
Right. Isn't that sad? Is that all she really wants is because children tend to love unconditionally, mm-hmm. and she realized that this child who doesn't know her from anybody, and she was rather rude to him and kind of mean and nasty, and he was kind of like sassy pants, but then he turned around and gave her something and, you know, said, here's a thank you for letting me sit in your seat.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. That was, I think, the turning point for her, and that's what prompted her to have this, you know, maternal instinct, and that's when she kind of, I think, probably started to pursue it heavily. But again, it came back to, they weren't afraid of her,
mm-hmm.
until she went too far,
right?
And then that's when things changed.
And they had hearts,
right?
Too,
right?
You know, I also wanted to talk about Regina's slow revelation of what had happened, because she did wake up and say, you know, I did it. I won. But then it was kind of like, okay, let's put this to the test. Let me find Mary Margaret. Let me see how long she remembers her teaching. And they used, it looked like footage from the pilot,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and then cut in, you know, not the same area, but her hair looked exactly the same, Mary Margaret's hair,
mm-hmm.
and so they did really
she's
well with
the same
that
clothes,
yeah. And but yeah, she kind of drug her to the hospital and said, do you know this man? And you know, as long as she didn't know how long she'd been there, and as long as she didn't know who John Doe was, perfect. Then yeah. The rest of it was like, ah, this is great, you know?
Yep.
And I wonder, I think that Regina lied about finding David, Prince Charming John Doe.
Yeah, pretty sure she did.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, because I wanted to hear the story, but it seems like she lied about that. And so according to Mr. Gold, the new thing that Regina wants most is Henry. It was her steed.
Right.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. It was her steed, and then it was her father, the thing she loved most.
Right.
And now it's Henry.
Right.
Right. So, and somebody said you can't have everything, and that reminded me of what James or David's mother said. You can't have everything.
Mm-hmm.
So just an echo of that. So gold is a conciliary of a consigliere,
yeah.
The go-between between Regina and the Charmings.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
he's kind of the middleman.
Right. And
well, and he is kind of stuck in the middle, because technically he could have been Regina's stepfather if things had worked out the way he wanted them to. He had the connection to Regina. He taught her. But then now he's actually blood family, which is interesting.
And also they used to come to him.
Right.
And he would kind of do the same type of thing, negotiate or change different things. And now he's kind of going between the two of them. So I thought it was funny. I also thought it was funny that David said, don't drop a bomb like that on us until you da 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 da. And then later on, there was dynamite. So it's kind of.
Yeah, you can't just drop a bomb on us like that and then walk away and not help.
And we're still talking about debts. You owe her a debt.
Yeah.
That came up tonight. So.
Yeah, she saved your life. So yeah. You pretty much owe her. So you need to help us figure things out and take care of Regina. And Henry was pretty strong tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, Jared, of course, did a fantastic job as usual. But Henry was really, he was very, very, very vocal. And he was going to fix things himself since the adults can't seem to get their stuff together to do it.
The idea of getting home came up again tonight. So Kurt wanted to get home, but Owen hated home.
Right.
And there's this mysterious thing that happened to his mother.
Right. Well, she died. We don't know if it was natural causes or something else.
Right.
Don't know. It's just probably just a normal tragedy in life that just happened to them, because it made it very convenient for Regina to then, you know, propose having some sort of, you know, relationship in town, you know, in Storybrooke.
And they live in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that they didn't live in South Dakota, any flyover states, whatever. They live in New Jersey. So now we have connections to Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York.
Yes, so and Boston.
And Boston.
Massachusetts.
So it's all in that area, but
it's New England, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. But it was just, I don't know. So
I thought it was hilarious because she clearly didn't know who the boss was, which I thought was really funny. Is she she back in New Jersey with the boss?
Right.
That was actually a really funny line.
Who is this boss? Yeah.
Well, she didn't say that. She assumed it was, you know, okay. Yeah.
And you know, in the whole discussion about this, you know, blood feud and all that, you know, Gold said wars have costs.
Yeah.
The mention of, you know, Henry could be killed in this. He goes, well, wars have costs. You get in the ring.
Right.
It's a possible.
Well, and remember right now that part of his thing is he's still. Has that thought process that Henry's going to be his downfall.
Right.
Which I still do not believe that it's Henry.
Yeah,
I think the prophecy was about August, but anyway. Mm-hmm. That was quite an interesting conversation.
And Henry did some more kind of Yoda sagey kind of thing tonight. You used to be heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Angus isn't around, he is the kind of voice of reason and the wake up call and these types of things. So he did it again, talking to them.
Yeah.
And Owen wasn't too hot on Regina's lasagna.
No.
I
he didn't care for it much.
I think I would like it. She says it has a kick.
Yeah, and maybe that's why.
I like lasagna with kicks.
Well, you do. A lot of kids don't. Yeah. So.
All right. You know what Owen did tell Regina? He said, you know, you'd probably make a great mom. You know, he's cooking stuff and having dinner and nice. Right. And
again, that just solidified for her more that, you know, the missing piece in her life was a child. I mean, he flat out asked her, why don't you have any kids? Mm-hmm. And you could see the look of pain across her face and the look of kind of surprise. And I'm sure there was a part of her that was saying, I can't. Well, because my mother took out my boyfriend's heart and killed him. She can't exactly say that to him. So, you know, she's got to just, you know, be really neutral about it. Just say it just didn't work out that way. And again, I guess I've always kind of wondered, why doesn't she just have a baby of her own? I mean, I'm glad she adopted, but at the same time, it's kind of like she really wants that. Why did she wait so long? Because Henry doesn't come along for 18 years at this point.
True.
So 18 long years of this, you know, Groundhog Day over and over and over, basically. So why wouldn't she try to, I mean, she's got a meeting with Graham every day. So, I mean, it kind of made you wonder, why didn't she try to have a child of her own?
Well, and also, in that Groundhog Day scenario, what kind of broke out of it to bring in Henry? Because that would have been another shock to the system.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So. See, and that's the thing. From this point, we saw the first day in Storybrooke, and then the next few days after that or whatever, maybe even been weeks, wasn't really sure on the time frame. But point is, we didn't see the full 18 years. We have no idea what happens. I mean, there's so much that can happen in 18 years. So, interesting.
So Henry fooled his way out of Granny's. And I thought it was kind of interesting. Granny now has their own paper bags with Granny's diner on it. So if you're listening, cast members, if you could maybe send me one, that would be just fantastic. You can go to onceuponatimepodcast.com and look, and there's a mailing address. So if you wouldn't mind, you can mail me one. Sarah Harty, if you're listening. And
yeah,
you can find one somewhere.
Yeah.
That would be
those
great.
Those are props. Not sure they let those out of their sight.
Well, you never know.
You just never know. I'm just saying.
Yep.
But, yeah, the whole conversation between Emma and Neil was quite hilarious.
Yeah, he's so, your son.
Yeah, well, the whole, so, yep, he said yes. Really? Yeah, I got him to say yes. And then, well, where is he right now? He's in the bathroom. Wait, where's his backpack?
Yeah.
I don't know. He took it with him to the bathroom?
He said, day three is a dad. I'm doing pretty good.
That was pretty funny. It was like, day three is a dad. No, you're not actually.
That's a classic guy, though. It really is. He's so happy about one little thing, but then that's the great thing about women. They will point the whole scope of what just happened, and you miss the whole point. He's going, yeah, but this part's great, and yeah, but the whole thing here. It's like, okay.
Well, and by the way, he's your son was a major dig at Neil. That was her way of basically saying, you louse, you ran out on me.
Right.
But what was interesting, and to cut Neil a little bit of slack, it is only day three, and he's got an 11-year-old. So, of course, he has no concept of how to deal with a kid. He's not had any kids before this, so he really doesn't know how to deal with them from an adult perspective.
And it, to be honest, you know, again, we have this another new parent.
Yeah.
You know, where Regina's been, you know, Henry's parent for all this time. Emma was new, you know, she's always, well, she's not always saying, but there was a time when she was saying, you've been parents for 5 minutes. And now Neil's been parents for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this is tough.
Yeah.
I mean, all these new people coming into Henry's life. And so, anyway. We see Billy, Gus again.
Yes.
So
briefly.
That's what is really interesting about this show is that, and I think it was done with Lost as well, is that even though a character's been killed off, they're using flashbacks to bring them back and fill in all the gaps of the story.
Right.
You know, and I think it's an interesting device. I think it works. But
yeah. And it's always nice to see, like, when Sheriff Graham stepped out of the squad car. That was really cool. And then, seeing Billy, that was kind of fun. So,
well, we ran off a whole list of people of where they're at. You know, Ella and Thomas and or Sean and
Ashley and Sean,
Ava Nicholas,
yeah,
Catherine and the gym teacher guy,
Frederick, and
all these people,
yeah, and Marco. And yep. August.
Yep. Well, I have a feeling since next week's episode is called Selfless, Brave, and True, I think we might
might be seeing Pinocchio again.
Yep. And if you've stayed off of Twitter, that's fantastic. You're awesome. But little things get tweet it out.
Yeah.
All right. So Greg says he's a bit of a nature photographer and is wandering around in the forest. And a number of people have been in the forest. Remember David had his little weird wanderings and, you know.
Looking for someone.
I'm looking.
Before the amnesia wore off.
And Mr. Gold loved to go out there and dig and, you know, so.
Dig
and then
for
there
what?
Was that. That strange, dangerous playground for children.
Yeah.
That looks a heck of a lot like a queen's palace that we all know.
Yes, and which we've never seen again, that lovely little children's playground area.
So, I mean, and it would be very interesting if Greg did happen upon that as well. I mean, like, what's this doing out here?
Well, and
So. All right, and so dynamite. We find that there is an unlocked box of dynamite. In the little mine.
Yeah, in the mine.
That the Team 7 was using to find diamonds.
Yeah, blast through the walls.
And that's where Henry was going.
Right.
Astutely.
Which, I gotta say, what's an unlocked box of dynamite doing in the bottom of the mine where there's no supervision?
Right.
I just have to ask that, guys. Come on.
Yeah. So Henry got the dynamite. And ran to one of the portals. You know, obviously you can't blow up the hat because the hat's all torn up.
It's gone.
So the other portal was this well. So he had the dynamite and was going to light it. And Lost
had... Drop it down the well.
Lost had dynamite, too.
Yes.
But anyway, so... Regina and he had the conversation about magic. And then we have this standoff again. We had a standoff last week, and we have a standoff again this week. And, you know, he's saying that magic is evil. And magic makes good people do bad things. And then Emma just can't. These people just say these things and, you know, just incenses fans and characters too. You know, Emma looks at Regina and says, yeah, bad people too. You know, makes bad people do bad things with magic.
Right.
And, you know, that's part of the question is, you know, in a land without magic, that was the evening factor of the whole thing. But now magic's back and we see what's happened, you know. People are getting killed. Multiple people are killed.
Mm-hmm.
All the pain, the sorrow, the hurt and sadness and all this.
Right.
And so Henry's saying, well, we'll just get rid of magic. And, you know, Regina just said, you can't. You can't. So.
Right.
Anyway.
You can't do it. And he's like, yeah, because you need it. You want it. That's why you won't get rid of it. But if you don't. If you keep using it, you're going to hurt my family. And it's a sad little dig at Regina.
Yeah.
Everybody keeps kind of throwing digs at Regina. You know, and I feel bad for her because, again, it seems like she didn't, you know, the curse didn't give her what she wanted. She found that the one thing that would fill her, you know, emptiness was a child. She finally gets one. And then he's eventually taken from her.
The discussion that she was having with, I think, Owen, I can't recall, but it reminded me of the discussion that she was having with Henry about, with that huge cupcake, about we can have everything. We can...
Oh, when she was going to teach him magic.
Right. And that's what it reminded me of. And I was saying, but... You realize that was a mistake at that point, but it's kind of like the Groundhog Day. And we kind of go back to the same type of idea again, because it's a comfortable thing. And so, yeah.
Well, you know the old saying, those who don't learn their history are doomed to repeat it.
Mm. Yeah.
If you don't learn history, you're doomed to repeat it. And that's a sad fact, is she obviously hasn't learned this yet. And so she's doomed to repeat it until she finally gets it.
Well, and then Henry said to Regina, you're trying to destroy my family.
Yeah.
Which said, you're not my family. One. Two, these are. So
the sad thing is, I think really ultimately Henry is, you know, referring to them as family because genetically speaking, they are his family. He does come from that bloodline. But I think he does still regard Regina as his mom because he even said it. You guys are, you know, you're doing this to my mom, or he said something about my mom. You can't kill my mom or something like that. And that's that. I mean, that speaks volumes in and of itself, too. So, I mean, I think Henry, honestly, has room for both. And they're just, they're so paranoid on both sides of the fence. They can't accept that he has room to love both sides of his, you know, his mom's. Both
David
moms.
Pulled a gun.
Yeah.
On Regina.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, again, so. David can't exactly carry around his sword. I mean, he could. He doesn't carry around his sword.
Right.
So, I mean, there's that. But, yeah, he pulled a gun because I think it's instinct.
Yeah. And that's another thing is Emma's really not sheriff anymore.
Doesn't seem like she's taken up that job responsibility so much.
No. All right.
But then again, who's running things in Storybrooke?
Mm-hmm.
It almost seems like it's David. David's kind of it. He's mayor. He's sheriff. He's everything because he's the prince. He is the prince. Although he should, well, yeah. Technically he could be king, but
yeah. So we saw Owen cross the boundary.
Yep.
Nothing mysterious happened to him. We didn't see any type of anything.
Right.
But we did see Regina kind of touched the barrier.
Yes.
So it was there. The only thing we did see is that Owen did not lose his memory.
What memory would he have?
But I'm just saying, normally people that...
Fairy tale characters who were,
okay,
who were right, under the curse, absolutely, they lose their memories.
So that's what I was getting to, is that they were just caught in it.
Right.
So therefore, there was...
They weren't even caught in it, really. It went past them.
Wow.
So they were... They just happened to be sitting there, and it kind of...
In the path of the...
In the path.
Right.
And what happened was that it... I don't want to say it affected them or impacted them. It just kind of surrounded them.
Okay. But the one effect that did happen was that once he crossed the line... He could not see Storybrooke anymore.
Right, exactly.
He couldn't see the sign. He couldn't see the town, which then, I mean, the question is, why did they see the town when they drove back through it? You understand?
Because think about where the boundary is, right?
Mm-hmm.
The boundary itself. They were...
So they were within the boundary,
they were within the boundary
in the forest,
sure,
wherever they were.
Sure,
okay.
Because right, the boundary itself is huge.
Okay.
It's not just right there in the middle of town. It's quite large, apparently. And that's why they were able to see it, because they were... Think of it as like an umbrella. So they were underneath the umbrella,
right,
and
right,
could see it.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute he crossed and got on the outside of the umbrella, he couldn't see it anymore.
Yeah. So we have a great...
Although if he'd moved two steps forward... He would have crossed into it. Now, what would that have done? He would have disappeared, possibly, from those two police officers that had brought him there.
Yeah.
I think, personally. That's just me.
We have a really cool conversation with Mary Margaret with Gold. And Gold actually protected her.
Oh,
from,
yeah,
Regina's heart-grabbing attempt,
maneuver
number one. And she said, you know, you aren't going to be her guard dog forever.
Yeah.
But they had a great conversation. You know, Mary Margaret said, you know, how do you live with all the bad stuff you've done? And I guess, I mean, that's an interesting question for anybody, I guess.
Well, I mean,
how do you do it?
When you think about it, she did one bad thing that she
right,
purposely did. She didn't do what Regina thought purposely, but she did one bad thing on purpose. And so because she did, she was struggling with how she felt about it. And that was just one thing.
Right.
With Rumpel, he's done a lot. And she's like, I'm having trouble. How in the world do you live with this? And I think she was actually looking for some sort of, you know, look, tell me how to deal with this.
Well, and he did. And the only way he knows how to deal with it is say that you're doing something good.
You do it for the right reasons.
Yeah. And you just keep telling yourself
Doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And eventually you'll believe it.
Right.
And that's the sad fact is that, yeah.
So it's not exactly what you do. It's the reason why. So it's like you justify it somehow.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah. And then the very interesting two ending parts was the conversation that Mary Margaret had with Regina.
Wow.
She basically had given up and just said, let's end this. Kill me. Do it. Whatever you need. Get my heart. Crush it. Do it.
Which, honestly, okay, so I'm going to just really probably irritate a bunch of people when I say this, but frankly, this is what I kind of thought when I saw this. I'm going, Snow? Seriously? That's like the coward's way out. Frankly, because it's think about it. It would be too easy because then she would feel no more pain.
Right. But that was Regina's point.
Correct. But ramifications of that, Mary Margaret didn't think about anybody else.
Right.
She wasn't thinking about what that effect would have on David or Emma or Henry or anyone else, her Ruby, her best friend. I mean, she didn't think about anybody but herself at that point in time, which is the first step to the fact that she's got that black hole.
Right.
The fact that she's got that black
part of her heart,
spot in her heart. That's what prompted that.
Yeah.
Which is really, wow.
So that's kind of an opposite or different kind of spin on the whole Rumpelstiltskin knife. You know, when he was dying, it started to disappear. And so, you know, Mary Margaret's heart has this portion that is black, which actually goes back to what Cora said, I'll turn her heart black as coal.
Right.
And then Regina said that, you know, once your heart starts to turn black, you cannot change it back. Unfortunately, Mary Margaret happens to know somebody that has some magic that has some, you know, curse breaking magic. So, well, we'll see.
It'll be interesting to see how that pans out. Yeah.
But then the final thing is there was some, I don't know how people can tweet and watch the episode at the same time, but there's a lot of people doing it today.
Okay.
And so I think about 10 or 15 minutes in, they were going, you know, Owen is Greg. And Owen turned out to be Greg.
Right.
So.
Right.
But.
Which did I or did I not say that he has, if he's not a fairy tale character, he's been to Storybrooke for somehow, some way. Yeah. He's been there. And that's why he's freaking out about the whole thing.
So then that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw in the promo for next week that it appears that, you know, we have, if you've listened to this podcast a while, you've heard us talk about Lost, and they have these people that carried sticks in the background. And initially we knew that there were, what, 7 survivors or whatever?
14, I think.
14.
Yeah.
And then there was all these people in the background. Like, who is that person? Who are these people? There's all these different people there. And so that's another thing is Storybrooke, you know, there were these people that you know that were in town, but now there's these other people that kind of showed up, you know,
right.
And then it appears that perhaps Greg's father is in town or Owen, Greg, whatever.
Yeah.
And, so Owen will hopefully find his father soon. But yeah,
my money is on, he was locked up in the basement with Belle in a different cell.
So the question is still, who is her?
Right.
Why is she with him?
Right.
So, and so we...
Now, wouldn't this be a twist? The her is Tamara.
Well, that is possible. Well, she... and again, it appears from the promo that she is on her way to Storybrooke too.
Right. And the reason why I say that is that now that we know who she is, she seems to have a lot of money, and maybe she is curious because Bay has been saying stuff in his sleep or something kind of funny.
Yep.
Just throwing it out there.
So yeah, we are ramping up toward the end, and it seems like we're going to have a Lost Boy or Peter Pan finale coming. So yep. we will see.
Very likely a Neverland yeah. centric. Last two episodes seems to be. So we have this next episode. Is there a hiatus after that, or is it the?
I would have to look it up.
Okay.
I don't have that information in front of me.
I gotta say, this episode was interesting. It was a good episode. It was interesting, but honestly, it ultimately was Greg's backstory.
Right. Yeah.
That's really all it was, and really the last few minutes of the episode really kind of moved the plot forward with, you know, the Regina Snow thing.
Well, I'm glad we got answers about the time.
I am glad stuff. About that too. Yeah.
And that kind of thing. So that's it. I think we've squeezed this towel as far as it'll go tonight and got everything out of it.
I was going to say, squeeze this lemon to get all the juice out of it?
No. I never said anything.
No, that's what I was going to say. We pretty much wrung the juice out of the lemon.
Listen to your Led Zeppelin songs and we'll talk later.
Okay.
So Lady is asleep over here 2 weeks into the strict crate rest, and she is going crazy. She wants to be walking around, and Doc said no. So anyway, thanks for all the little tweets and emails and stuff like that. She's doing better, but still have a long way to go with the full mobility, but she is walking. She's not 100% yet.
Yep.
So anyway, thank you so much for retweeting our tweets about this first thoughts for this episode, and also tweeting out when you're listening. You know, when you're listening, you tweet out, hey, I agree with at OUAT podcast about this, or I disagree with Saweetie about this. You know, the more you tweet and put in your hashtag Once Upon a Time or hashtag Welcome to Storybrooke together, then people read it and then they'll be interested and want to listen to the first thoughts as well. We are building the audience. It is growing, and I want to thank everybody for doing that as well. Also, if you shop at Amazon.com, please use our link. It's store.onceuponatimepodcast.com. We get a small percentage, and you get whatever you need at Amazon.com. So thank you for that.
Yep.
I want to send big love out to everybody. Thank you so much for your support, and we appreciate it so much. And we will talk more about Welcome to Storybrooke later on this week.
All right.
See you guys.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.